Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Big Thursday night, Broncos, Colts, ready for that one. Of course, it's going to be a big Friday night, too. The Colorado State Rams are playing on Friday night, going to Nevada. And can the Rams get off the schneid and find a way to get their first win of the season? Kevin Lytle joining me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And we have Rams Weekly coming up at 5 today. I will not be there. I'm actually heading to the game tonight. I'm going to the Broncos game tonight. But Kevin Lytle, Chris Abshire do a fantastic job, with or without me, to be honest. Kevin, my man, the Rams are 3.5-point dogs in this one tomorrow night, and I have no idea what to make of it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting. I mean, the line makes sense to me of two teams that are really struggling. Three is kind of just your home point swing, so that makes sense to me. But yeah, the game itself, I could talk myself into a lot of different outcomes in this one, and I'm just feeling really uncertain in a lot of ways. I really, you know, most games you can have at least a little feel on it. I just don't.
That's how I feel, man. I looked at the Sac State game, and I'm like, okay, come on. Rams are going to win that. Oh, Washington State. But this game, I have no idea. But we do. This is the one that has the most drama in it. You got Nevada's head coach throwing out the rumor mill. CSU's not biting on any of it. So at least you got some kind of juice to this game on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of drama for, you know, two, like I say, pretty bad teams overall. There's plenty of intrigue in this one, and it's going to be fascinating. I mean, Nevada is, I don't know, kind of an interesting fan base. They don't really support the team that well. You know, they're averaging 13,000 a game through the first two. You know, CSU even outdrew Nevada last year, even though CSU was really bad and Nevada was, you know, quite good. But they're definitely riled up for this game. But on the flip side, they're not going to sell out the stadium or probably even come close at all. So those that are going to be at the stadium, I think it's going to be pretty hostile, but it's just fascinating. I'm really intrigued to see how it goes.
Yeah, me too. No doubt about it. And I loved your write-up in the Coloradoan about, you know, why exactly Jay Norvell left Nevada. That's a fantastic read. Really lays out kind of the specifics there. Jay Norvell, though, he's not given into any of this. I thought he said more about Harbaugh in Michigan than he is about this thing. You know, he told me about the quarterback carousel with Michigan. He's like, I don't really like it. With Nevada, no, he's not giving into anything there. Clay Millen the same way. But you know, this would be the perfect scenario for the Rams to try to get back on track, especially for Jay Norvell to get that first win against his old team.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, he keeps saying it's not about him and basically wants to defer all talk. You know, he said, you know, I didn't hear Ken Wilson's comments, which I don't want to say Jay Norvell's lying because I don't think it's a malicious thing, but that, you know, Ken Wilson basically accused him of NCAA violations.
Right.
No way. Jay Norvell did not hear that. So he's aware. I'll be intrigued to see if he does win to see, you know, if Norvell kind of, I don't want to say clap back. I don't think he's going to say anything crazy, but, you know, say at least a little something. Obviously, if they lose, he won't. But, yeah, they definitely know. Obviously, he heard those comments. Obviously, he knows the connections. And obviously, those players, you know, I was saying Clay on his show, you know, on KFK earlier this week. Of course, he kind of deferred away as well. That's kind of been the party line. Jacob Gardner did the same thing. But you know, internal, there's no way you can't have a little extra juice. I mean, you have so many connections. You know, a lot of the guys that are Nevada's best players, you know, were teammates with these CSU guys last year. So obviously there's some extra juice in this one, no matter what CSU, you know, wants to say publicly right now.
How does the end of the game go, regardless of the result? Does Jay Norvell and Ken Wilson, is it like UFC fighters? Do they go up to each other and they're like, dude, we just had to promote. I had to promote the fight, man. I had to promote this thing. Or are they going to be like, no, thanks, I'm good? Because what you said, Ken Wilson basically in a roundabout way accused Jay Norvell of something pretty nasty when it comes to college sports. So do they sing kumbaya at the end of this, or, you know, is there going to be some bad blood for a while?
Yeah, again, some of it I think depends on how the game goes. But I could see Jay, you know, maybe with a quiet word of, you know, don't solely my name type of thing. Again, it depends on, you know, if the game's super chippy and dirty and there's a lot of nasty stuff, then that, you know, amps up the possibility of of some happenings there. Overall, and I'm guessing it maybe will be terse, but, you know, again, like you say, it's not like they're going to, you know, throw down a fist fight at midfield or anything. But, yeah, it is going to be intriguing to watch, especially depending on how the game goes. If it's, you know, a blowout either way, it could get nasty that way. Or if there's, like I say, some chippiness in it, that could, you know, add some heat to it as well. But that's – I'll have the binoculars out watching that interaction from the press box, I'll tell you that.
No question. I know you'll be there in Nevada, so you'll be kind of trying to highlight what that atmosphere is like. Let me ask you, Kevin, is Clay Millen playing tomorrow night?
I feel very comfortable in saying Clay Millen will not be in uniform, will not play, and Braden Fowler-Nicolosi will start. Jay Norvell has come as close as you can come to saying that he's out without admitting that he's out. You know, he even likened it to Carson Strong's, you know, first year as a starter, saying, well, you know, Carson missed a few weeks and it was great for him. So I don't think you can say it's the same situation if you're claiming the guys can't play this week when Carson missed several weeks. So, yeah, of course, CSU and Norvell, and I totally understand there's no reason for them to, you know, publicly admit that he's out, but I feel pretty confident in saying that it will not be Clay Millen on Friday.
That's why Kevin's the best, reading between the lines a little bit to give us some more insight of what's happening with CSU. Obviously, more transfer portal news, more guys leaving the program. You predicted this 2 weeks ago. You said don't be shocked. And I'll ask you again. I asked you last week. We could just wash, rinse, repeat. Are you shocked at any of the most recent moves that we've seen as far as CSU Rams leaving the program?
No, not particularly. I think the most recent public one was David Bailey, a guy that I think a lot of us were somewhat surprised he came back in the first place. So not a shocker there. I mean, he has got some carries, but when healthy, he's still probably third on the depth chart. So not a shocker. I do. I can't say anything for certain yet, so I don't want to lean too far into rumor mill, but I think there might be a couple more that could, you know, come out before the game Friday. But, yeah, the roster should basically be set now, you know, once we get to this game, you know, because we're, you know, now passing that four-game threshold where you can still redshirt and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it's none individually, you know, really shocked me. The Stovall one was the most surprising. Collectively, I do get kind of an alarming number for fans to see from the outside, but overall I think this is just how a huge rebuild is going to happen here. I think, you know, with that four-game redshirt and ability, a one-time transfer, you just have a whole lot of people that realize they either don't want to be part of, you know, they don't like their role or they want a different role elsewhere. And so you're just getting a huge – what used to take 4 or 5 years to turn over a roster, you're going to get in 1 year, and this is just kind of the next stage of it. So it's, like I say, a big number. CSU's playing with pretty limited scholarship numbers, but that's just kind of how it goes right now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that next, you know, about the depth chart. You start seeing all these guys, and, I mean, they're not bringing guys in necessarily. So what kind of concern level is there when you just look at the depth chart when you see all these names popping off the roster?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there are some position groups where you're pretty thin, and ironically receivers kind of one of them. You're playing a bunch of freshmen there, and, you know, overall on the two deep, I think I said there are 16 either true or redshirt freshmen, so you have a lot of young kids. And yeah, if you were to have some injuries in some of those spots where you're kind of thin, you're going to be hurting. But again, there's you know, like it or not, there's not really anything you can do right now because you can't bring anyone in midseason. You know, this obviously isn't the NFL. You don't go, you know, sign Latavius Murray from someone's practice squad or anything like that. So you kind of roll with what you've got. And, you know, the bad of it is, yeah, you're kind of thin. The good of it, again, look at all these freshmen who are going to get a ton of time this year when, you know, 3 years down the road, you know, in theory, freshmen won't be getting that much time because the program will be better shape. So it can really accelerate some development of these guys because they're just getting a huge amount of reps. That means, you know, you will get mistakes and things that freshmen do. But they're going to, you know, really accelerate the learning curve right now.
Kevin, how are you viewing the rest of the season? I mean, it's still so early. We're approaching the second real season, or the real season, I suppose, Mountain West Conference play. But are you viewing this now more as, hey, get freshmen worked up there, be ready for next year, build for next year? Or do you think somehow the Rams can turn this thing around to at least having a respectable record down the stretch?
Yeah, I think kind of a bit of both. I mean, I certainly don't, you know, think it should be acceptable for CSU just go 0-12 and say, well, you know, we're playing a bunch of kids, it'll be good for the future. I think you do need to get some wins, show some signs of progress. But I do also believe that, yeah, a lot of this is setting sort of the building blocks for the future and play a bunch of these freshmen, develop them, and figure out what you've got there. And hopefully, you know, and look at Justice Ross Simmons. I think he's a great example. He's, you know, each week it seems like he's a little better, and you can see his talent. So a guy like that, just keep giving him reps, keep throwing him the ball, and, you know, who knows, maybe by the start of next year you're already talking about him as, you know, another potential star receiver. So I think it's a little bit of both. You do need to see some tangible signs of growth and progress and success. But, yeah, understand this team is not going to go 7-1 in the Mountain West and play for a Mountain West title. That is pretty unrealistic. But you should be able to pick up a couple wins because the Mountain West is just not good this year. So you'd like to see some tangible progress in addition to the slightly less tangible progress of, you know, playing a bunch of kids.
Kevin, last one for you. We opened the season kind of like, hey, Jay Norvell's done all these things the right way. He's been out and about. He's personable. He does all the right things. He's promoting his program. We said that if you do all those things, you kind of make losing feel, at least for the first season, it's not as rough. And with Adazio, even in that first year, and it was COVID year, I felt like he didn't do any of those things. So when the losing, you pair that with it, you go, what do we have here? It's weird how it's easier to take, for me anyway, personally. My expectations were higher for CSU, but I'm still looking at 0-4, kind of getting beat down every single game. I'm still pretty optimistic. I was not that way with Steve Adazio. Tell me why, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, long term, I feel the same. You know, this season started rougher than I expected, but long term, I still feel the same. And part of it is, yeah, those things you mentioned, part of it is track records. Jay Norvell did it at Nevada. He had a really bad first year and then, you know, immediately improved and things got better quickly. Whereas, you know, Steve Adazio had a long track record of, you know, mediocrity at a, you know, Power Five school. So I think that's part of it too, of, you know, it's not just the demeanor. That does play a big role. I know about that, you know, the demeanor and the way, you know, Adazio acted and compared to how Norvell acts does help keep some people more on Norvell's side through these tough times. And then the track record does as well, because he's done it at a very similar program. So it's fairly easy to see. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it's easy to see how, okay, year one for Norvell in Nevada was, you know, not great, but pretty quickly was pretty solid. And then, you know, translate that to CSU and hope he can do the same. I think it's pretty easy for fans. I know, you know, fans are very frustrated, but you can at least look at it and see how that can happen.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that fan base is kind of still saying, all right, you know what, we like a lot of the other things he's done so far, so let's give him the space he needs to kind of build this program. And again, there is that crazy few that's like, I want to win every game, every weekend, and if we don't, there's trouble. Kevin, I loved your write-up, man. I suggest people go check that out, outlining the reasons why Jay Norvell left Nevada. Great reading as you prepare for this Friday night battle between Colorado State and Nevada. My man, I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly tonight. I'll listen to the podcast. I might be down in Denver by that time, but I'm looking forward to it for the real Rams insight. It's always the Colorado. It's Rams Weekly, and it's our chats with you, man, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, we're excited to be back out this week. It's an 0-14, but still plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
No question, especially this game for tomorrow night. A lot of drama. Kevin, we'll catch up with you soon. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And tune into Rams Weekly tonight at 5 o'clock, we'll have that leading up to the Broncos game. So that's the beauty of KFKA, man. We cover a little bit of everything, and we do it the right way. 11:52 the time. We'll take a short break. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Is there a concern brewing at Ball Arena surrounding the Denver Nuggets? We'll talk about it next.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.